All right, welcome back to the All Things Telesales podcast. I love these type of podcasts where David Meltzer makes some introductions and gets me some high profile guests on the podcast. Before we hit record, we're talking about common connections like Brad Lee, people like that. And Brad was telling you know, where you been hiding at, man? So Joe, as a way of getting started, what have you been up to, man? Where you been hiding at?
Man, I don't know about hiding. I feel like I've been on the road in front of people, but there's one of the distinctions that people always make is they go, yeah, you know, Joe's like mentored over 400 companies now and like tens of thousands of people. And when you hear that, you think I'm doing it online. But the truth is I've been doing it face-to-face in conference rooms, physically in companies for 15 years now. You know, with 2020 popping up, this is actually, it forced me to do something I should have hit the gas pedal on, you know, years ago. And to branch out and start using technology to reach out, you know, all over the country and world. But I've been on the road, man. I've literally been driving around or flying around on the road for 15 years now, and just coaching sales teams and leadership teams.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. So how long have you been doing that?
15 years independently on my own. And of course, I've been in sales since, when did we start in Jake sales? When we were like two?
Right. Yeah.
People are always like, when did you start in sales? I mean, you mean like legally or?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was selling apples from the apple tree to my grandparents. Come on.
Whatever it was, you know, right. Whatever it was. Or just, and I love that because it's kind of like people are like, oh, I have a story just like that. And you meet like-minded people. And we get along right away because we understand each other, you know. Right. And there might be people listening to us right now with more experience. There might be people with less experience, you know, even though experience to me really just measures time, not skill. There's always some, you know, something that they can relate to and we can relate to, which makes it fun. But, you know, hopefully we'll drop some value on them today and shake them up a little bit.
Absolutely. And one thing that I already like about you, Joe, is, man, you're cool, calm, collected. And a lot of misconception out there that sales professionals, you have to be enthusiastic and very like upbeat, jacked up on Red Bull. But I see,
how's, man, your day going today?
You're sipping on water right now, man. You know, and I got my gallon jug of water over here, so we don't necessarily have to be jacked up on Red Bull. What do you think?
Right. Well, I literally just left the gym like 30 minutes ago to race back to the studio to do this. So I'm already pumped up.
Yeah.
Just did my hair. So let's rock.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, man. So what are some things, like, when it comes to sales, what makes you so passionate about being a sales professional, being a sales trainer?
Mm-hmm. Dude, I think initially for us, like, you come from backgrounds where, you know, fortunately, I don't know your whole story, but for me, I came from a very, very loving family. But, you know, it was sort of like, you know, my parents, you know, coming from a third world country and working their butts off just to provide, you know, kind of a lower middle class life, which is all we needed at the time. It's more than enough than what we needed. So it was more that the pursuit of money, you know, success in the form of money, because at that point, there was really nothing else lacking necessarily in my life other than me having an early understanding that my parents didn't leave their loved ones and, you know, come to this great country so that we could just live the same type of life.
Right.
You know, and then I think most of us in our teenage years, not everyone, but a lot of us in our early teenage years or even younger, like for me, it was like 7, 8, 9 years old. People started to realize we were really good at connecting with people and talking with people. And I think, you know, although some of us are, you could say, sort of born with a little of that in our DNA, I've seen people who were not naturals come out of the woodwork and just kill the game too. And yeah, and then it transforms, right? And then it's not necessarily just money. I think halfway through my career, what really inspired me to become a coach, through all my ups and downs, living in cars, moving from Chicago to California, there's all kinds of stories you can see out there, right? It was noticing that as a young director, having, you know, nearly 100 salespeople on our floor in our care, seeing that it was only a handful of people that were really dominating.
Right.
And everyone else that we recruited, you know, wanted to do extremely well, but such a small percentage did extremely well. When I mean extremely well, I mean like really living an abundant life, you know, and being able to provide on a massive level, where most people just ended up producing just enough to satisfy the lifestyle they already had. And so that kind of like sparked a curiosity in me and, you know, loving to teach and loving to contribute to people and serve. At the age of like 27, 28, I was looking at all these, like, you know, Tony Robbins wannabes running around California and making like 40, sure. 50 grand a month.
Right.
And I was like, man, I love this stuff, but all yeah. they're doing is really regurgitating, repeating what, yeah. you know, all this motivational stuff.
Right. I love where you're going with this.
And I'm like, people go into those seminars and we come out. I know we hug 1,000 people and we like, yeah. we all cheer and stomp, but a lot of my people don't come out of there and actually have, yeah. it doesn't, you know, have an immediate impact on their skills, yeah, on their no progress, change. On their yeah. confidence. It's temporary. Hmm. And so I was like, maybe, you know, this is a sign for me to leave while I'm at a peak in my sales career and, you know, study and go out there and go on a mission to really find out how it is that we can create more top performers, you know, in the business world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. That was in January 2006, I made that decision.
Right. I find it. Yeah, definitely where you're talking about, you know, like, all the people trying to follow the footprints and regurgitating information, you know, the Think and Grow Rich, and you hear a lot mm-hmm. of people. It's just, yeah, like, as you said. So let's say somebody really is inspired to go down that path, you know, of mm-hmm. helping and serving, but they're facing what we now know on social media is this imposter syndrome, right? Like, they maybe listen to this podcast, like, I really feel led to serve, but then I'm afraid somebody's going to call me out of regurgitating some Eric Thomas stuff, or, you know what I mean? Like, what do you say to that person?
Well, really, you know, this is really interesting that you bring up that question, bro. Check this out, because 2 years into my coaching career, you know, we were going through a recession at that time. It was already bad enough that my friends and family thought I was freaking nuts for even trying to right. go into coaching during a recession. They're like, go get a job, bro. Right. But what I found, you know, sort of by accident, maybe by faith, was now that I was, you know, really hitting the streets and going out to dozens and dozens of companies, especially earlier on, because my coaching relationships were much shorter than they are now. And what I was noticing around 2008, 2009, which still applies today, it's sort of the secret sauce, why they call me the secret weapon in a lot of these industries, to the point where some companies were paying me double not to go to their competitors and coach.
Right.
Or, you know, for a period of time, was that customers were being sold so much more in the new economy that they were memorizing the words that we've been taught in sales
right.
and becoming resistant to them. Even if you had good intentions, people can't see your intentions. They can only hear your words.
Right. Yeah.
And so in 2009, I would say 2008, late into 2009, I stopped studying sales. I stopped buying sales books. I stopped listening to sales gurus, especially the ones that were older,
right?
Even though they probably had some value to offer and some, you know, tricks of the trade, I stopped listening intentionally, and I started studying neuroscience, human behavior. I started studying love, relationships, neuroplasticity, and all these different types of things, because the underlying factor of serving people is to first completely understand them.
Yeah.
And you can't understand people when you're trying to study a sales technique. Which sales technique should I use? Which question should I ask? Which, right? Yeah. And right. then that transformed into helping companies in multiple industries completely sort of reshape the language and the approach that they take with their customers, from a sales process to helping their customers with what I call a decision-making process. And that changes the language. In a nutshell, a lot of people are using the words, the greetings, and the yeah. openings that they've been taught, that have been handed down to them. That's a sure way to lose 80% of your qualified business.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know,
is that too heavy?
No, I mean, it's right on point to my methodology too, right? It's like,
good.
If you want to connect with people, first you got to learn to connect with yourself. And it sounds like you went through this journey of self-exploration, for lack of better words, to really, as you mentioned, understand love and all this warm, fuzzy stuff, to really understand it's really about losing yourself in the service of helping others. And it's a word you mentioned about, like, curiosity, being truly curious to learn about somebody, to really focus on that conversation, to genuinely. Are you more of a transactional type of seller or more of a relationship type of seller, right? And the ones that I've found, me personally, and I'm more of a relationship style than transactional seller, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say to the ones that are very, very transactional versus building rapport, building relationships.
A couple things, because you nailed it. You know, let's share our perspectives. I was, you know, I tell other sales experts, I'm like, there's not enough of us. We need a lot more of us. We need to be on the same page with each other. We need help. Number one, I have a saying. I say, if you treat the customer like a transaction, they're going to treat you like a quote.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is, if the customer can tell that you are convincing them that you are the best option for them, you're done.
Yeah.
The only thing a customer should be feeling from your conversation is that you're helping them to make the right decision, whether it's including you or not.
Yeah.
You're helping them find out if this is the right move for them as a mother, a father, a son, a single mother, as a caretaker, as a nephew, as a, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
As a retiree, you're helping you're creating an awareness for them. And then you're basically walking them through a process to say, let's find out if this is something that is right for you, or if it's something that you should pass on or consider something else. And although everybody shakes their head and says, yes, like if we were speaking to an auditorium, they're like, yeah, that's how I do it. I'm like, no, you don't, bro.
Yeah.
Play your phone calls for me. I bet you 8 minutes in, you're trying to convince them of something. I bet you three minutes in, you're asking an industry qualifying question. Yeah. I bet you within your greeting, you're saying, absolutely, great, perfect, the sounds of selling. You're fucking it up from the first 3 minutes.
Right.
And you don't even know, because you study your product, not communication. That's why your income is stuck.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. And asking, I mean, if I were to dissect one methodology, if we were talking about a methodology, mm-hmm. The one that I favor the most is Sandler, because it's really focusing on that communication, because you're focusing on questions and the kind of the question-based selling, you know, methodologies. Or if we were to talk about sales books and things like that, if you had to pick, and I know you mentioned, you know, like you stopped doing that and listening, but if you had to pick one methodology or sales book, if you had to pick one, what would it be?
It would be mine. It's called Domination Selling. I don't subscribe to a book.
Right.
I'm happy to study and encourage my friends and my clients to study everyone.
Yeah.
Not all at once. And I tell them, if you find something that feels, you know, you feel logically or in your heart, it applies to your business, then try it and reshape it and put it in the context of your business. If it doesn't, don't force it. Just because a car sales guy or a refrigerator guy or an insurance guy told you, here's how I like to do it, and they drive a Ferrari, doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to constantly be trying to, you know, improve your client, you know, communication cycle, and look for the most meaningful and measurable way to help your customer make a decision, not be a closer.
Yeah.
Because a top closer in high ticket industries, especially right now, especially since we're going through another economic shift, and every time we go through an massive economic shift, our customers become even more sensitive to salespeople.
Right. Yeah.
So all of your language should be designed to help your customer explore their thoughts, explore, you know, different decision-making factors, and getting to know them better than anyone else. And I don't mean just in the context of your product.
Right.
I mean, really getting to know them, whether it's a 10-minute conversation or a 2-day approach, depends on the industry, right?
Yeah.
But really getting to know them so that they feel, hey, you know, Jake or Joe or Michelle, whoever it is I really, really trust them to help me make this decision. One of my rules in selling the new economy or domination selling is your customer is not a decision-making expert. And so if your customer is a mechanic, they're probably a decision-making expert as a mechanic. They're not a decision-making expert as a financial expert or as a mortgage broker or as an insurance person or as, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you have to create a process in which you as the expert are making the decision. And from the beginning, your customer realizes that the way you communicate, the things that you've brought up, the questions that you ask, and your complete approach, which is a non-salesy approach, is really truly designed to help them have clarity of decision, not to win their business, not to earn their business. I'd really love to earn your business. Come on, buddy.
Right. I love that you nailed it right there with clarity. And we're talking about communication. To be an effective communicator, you have to have 3 C's, which is confidence, conviction, got to believe in what you sell, got to know that it can make an impact, and clarity. So if you were coaching somebody that's struggling with those three C's, how would you go about helping them?
Well, a lot of people, you know, ask me those things, like, how do I get more confidence in my people?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, there's only a small percentage of people that for whatever reason in their childhood, their little Gary Vaynerchuk type childhood where your mom rewarded you for everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have confidence from the get-go. What I've seen instead after, you know, working with, you know, thank God now, you know, tens of thousands of people in person is that you build confidence through teaching people skill and then practicing with them. And then giving them time and encouraging them, catching them when they're doing things right. So when you tell somebody, you know, you need more confidence, you're actually destroying their confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're implying that you're not a confident person.
Right.
Instead,
yeah,
what you do is you work on their skill. You're like, hey, you'll be fine, man. Let's just keep working on this. Right. And so then I get into what's clarity. So you can have three C's or three D's or three S's or whatever the case may be, or a 10X or whatever it is.
Right.
But you literally have to, you know, guide people to the words, the questions, the approaches, the practice. You have to treat it like I say, you're a communication athlete. Mimic an athletic organization. They build a playbook.
Yep.
They're constantly improving their playbook.
Right.
They're spending hours and hours practicing their playbook, but they don't run around the field with a playbook.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a script.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those three things, confidence is really important. Knowing your product's really important, but becoming an effective communicator decides your paycheck. You can memorize every feature about your mortgage program or your life insurance product or the benefits or why your company's been in business longer or how you're different. You can memorize all that. You can teach that to anybody. But if you can't use communication skills to get your customer to a point of clarity or what I call a decision-making state, if you can't get them to that point or you arrive before them, then you're going to lose their business.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite closes, if you will, is, do you have enough information to make a decision? You know, like, as far as, you know, we talk about, you know, sales, we talk about being closers, we talk about verbiage, power phrases. What do you say to all that stuff?
I think that works sometimes, but there's a reason I, you know, my couple of my recent clients and I thought of this sort of tacky word, domination selling. Remember, I just said one of the rules of new selling that I've created and hopefully, you know, together with you and who knows who else over the years, we can really push this. Let's say you're selling life insurance to somebody. When you say, have you heard enough information to make a decision? You're still leaving the decision up to who?
Yeah.
But who's the expert?
Right. Yeah.
Instead, I would prefer you say, you know what, Jake, I've been talking to you for a little while. I've gotten to know some really, really important areas of your life and the things that are really important to you, like some of your priorities. I haven't known you that long, but I feel like I know you pretty well. And after having our conversation, I noticed you mentioned this, you mentioned this, you mentioned this, you mentioned this. And I've come to the decision that you are a perfect fit for this. Do you understand why?
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather ask them, do you understand why? Because if you leave the decision up to them and they've never made a decision like this, simply because they've practiced procrastination more than they've practiced decision-making in unfamiliar or unconventional industries, you're going to lose a lot of business, but be careful. Because if the performance culture of your company is closing at 18% and you reward people for that, then what you're doing is, pay attention, audience, what you're doing is practicing and perfecting closing methods that lose 78% of your business. Reverse it.
I love this. So we're making data-driven decisions as well as
factual, fact-driven decisions. I call it the unarguable close.
Yeah, I love that.
Right. And I make the decision.
Yeah.
And I respectfully ask if you understand the decision.
Right. Yeah.
After the facts that I've gathered from you about your most important priorities and you know, basically the things that I know that you hold in your rules and values as an individual and how they relate to the decision.
Yeah. And then, you know, whenever I can imagine, like, as a sales coach that you are, you go into an organization, and I've found these to be challenging moments too, where I've been a sales coach, is you gotta work with a leader, and then like you're butting heads with a leader, and you're having these moments of challenges where you can't really agree on one thing because they have signed you to, you know, either a new VP of sales or whatever.
Right.
You're dealing with this whole ego crap, you know. But whenever you have data to back up what works and what doesn't work, and you can say, look, I know for a fact, right? That confidence, I know this works and I know this won't work, you know?
Right.
Now, I kind of want to segue to one that I'm constantly in button heads with people about, is like presenting rates, you know? It's like, let's say we're getting down to the price and you want to present, let's say, an insurance premium, right? So right. I can give you high, mid, low premiums, you know, like $100 range, $70 a month range, $60 a month range, or I can give you just two different options, right? So there are some that say, well, scientifically proven that you go with two different options or you go with three, the herd close. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
I think those approaches are fine.
Yeah.
Again, when you're working with the high ticket industry, let me ask yourself, are the majority of your customers life insurance experts? Are they financial advisors?
Right. Yeah. So
Let's just assume that most of these customers are not financial advisors.
Right.
So the way that close would end, assuming that you've built the respect and you've established what I call emotional progression, which means that throughout the course of your evaluation, the customer can tell that you're the right person to help them make a decision. That way, when I arrive at the decision, it's going to sound more like, listen, I've taken a look at everything that we've discussed. And there's two options that are really sticking out that I think are going to be best for you. Let me go over them and let me explain to you why I think one is better than the other.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we'll make the decision together.
I love that.
I'm not putting the freaking decision in the customer's hand. I'm going to end up with an 18% closing ratio instead of a 38% closing ratio. Right. I will ask the customer if they understand after I've explained my decision.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
You get it?
Yeah.
And you can see, like, in the beginning, because you said you have to be careful when you're working with a newer and established sales team, because you don't come in hot like that, David. Right. No. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I go into a company who's bringing me on, it's usually like a 6 month to like 3 year relationship.
Right.
And so we start with little things like me, you know, explaining them the psychology or the journey that I've been on and what I studied and what I found, so that they can understand it from a human perspective. Then I'll say, like, let's just work on your greeting and intro for a week or two. Let's see if that increases your call time or your conversation time or your, you know, your application ratio.
Yeah.
And then, because I know I've got to earn their trust little by little. But if I walk into a sales team, or you walk into a sales team, and you're like, here, I want you to try all this. The only people that are going to try that are the people like on their way out, and you're like their last hope. You know what I'm saying? Which works sometimes. Because then they end up being the proof in the pudding. But instead, we start with bits and pieces. And I'll say, notice when you say this, how the customer becomes a little bit resistant or says something like, how'd you get my information? Or, you know, can you just send me an email? Or how long is this going to take? But when you switch to this, the customer simply answers your question and they're more obedient. And we'll just work on like a 3 minute segment for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Until half a dozen people start going, dude, this is working. Like, I'm going all the way through. The customer's not even stopping me. I'm like, aha, you've established our first goal, which is called conditioning behavior. And I always mess with the ladies. I'm like, ladies, I'll give you an example. When do you want to treat your man or train your man how to treat you? The first month, or do you want to try to do it 6 months into the relationship? Right. And then all the ladies roll their eyes. They're like, oh, now you tell me, Joe. Right. And I'm like, it's the same thing with the customer, but you can't condition your customer's behavior by using the industry that was taught, the language that was taught to you in your industry, because it's too recognizable that you work on commission from your opening breath.
Yeah. Man, this is great. And we're coming up on our time, so I'm going to have to bring you back on this podcast. We're going to have to schedule you to come back on.
Build up the suspense.
I promise you I don't say that often.
Build up the suspense.
It does not happen often. But I definitely want to bring you back in. And, Yeah, I know you're down in the Irvine area, like we mentioned, and so we're going to have to chop it up and do one of these, you know, post-pandemic face-to-face. And
I'll have to pick your brain a little bit too, man. I'm here to serve you guys right now, but I'd love to chat with you, you know.
Absolutely. And so, you know, as a way of wrapping things up, where can people find you?
Dude, it's the same as ever. Joe Coach on Instagram, Joe Coach, one word, J-O-E Coach. I'm on LinkedIn, Joe Saman. I'm the bald-headed guy with a black and gray suit on. You can't miss me. I try to be consistent. They offer to one of my buddies is a surgeon down here in Orange County. You know, we got like thousands of them down here. And he's like, hey, man, I'll give you, you know, hair plugs for free. Just mentor my company. And I'm like, hair plugs? He's like, I'll do like $20,000 worth for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, for free? He's like, yeah, I had to decline. He goes, why would you decline that? I'm like, bro, I've been branding this head for like 7 years now. Right. Like, if you put hair on my head, like, I'm gonna have to start all over again.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So it's pretty easy to find me online. Yeah. There's some new YouTube videos going up too as well.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. I'm 34 years young and I've got all this gray hair and I embrace it. I'm not spending, wasting money on just for men. Come on.
You know, I noticed that when I started popping grays, like back, you know, probably about the same age as you, I noticed more people stopped trying to negotiate about fee for some reason.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like they saw the gray hairs and like, this mofo was not going to negotiate with us or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's the track record.
We're going to end up screwing ourselves out of a negotiation if we even attempt it.
No. I mean, in a good way, like they were paying more.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're paying more for the gray hair.
Right.
Not less, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, that, and I have an online academy coming out here in a month or two going into 2021 that I was inspired to do because, you know, our clients pay anywhere from $7,000 to $12,000 a month.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the average Joe who wants to, you know, improve his career and be competitive and provide for his, you know, little kids can't afford.
Right.
So I think I'm going to roll out a much more affordable academy where people can, you know, learn this stuff individually if they want from home or from their office here within a couple months.
Yeah. Just curious, on Lightspeed VT.
It will be. That will be on Lightspeed.
Wise VT. Man. Both you're the, smart, man.
The B2C one and the B2B, meaning there'll be a corporate model for, you know, companies and then there'll be an individual model, which would be a little bit more affordable.
Very good. Yeah. Yes, and I'll be good. I'll be looking forward to seeing you in the skill shop on there and you'll be finding me in there too. So that's great.
Hey, you never know, man. We might have to collab on this a little
bit. Yeah, for sure. Well, I definitely love your heart, Joe, the compassion before commission. You represented well. And I want to tell Todd, he was absolutely right. It was fire.
Cool, man. I appreciate that. Same to you, bro. Same to you.
All right, brother.
And to you and the audience, man, hey, God bless. Do your guys thing. Don't worry about the temporary challenges.
Yeah.
Move forward, work on yourself, help others along the way, magic starts happening.
That's good, man. Appreciate you.
You got it, man. Take care, guys.